Where we are here, we're about to turn left onto what was the main road between Goulburn and Crookwell.
Alex Turner sees his sheep farm in this rolling corner of New South Wales as a giant carbon sponge. He rotates his 1,800 sheep through a series of fields. As a result, Turner says the land is not overgrazed and can absorb greater levels of carbon dioxide. It enters the soil through a process called photosynthesis, where plants convert carbon dioxide into sugars. Turner says having large stretches of healthy pasture is good for the environment and improves the quality of the soil and the feed it produces.
There is a total win-win situation between improving your soil carbon level and taking carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. The significance and the value of this is grossly underestimated, because 75% of the carbon in the biosphere, that's the soil, the grass, the trees, 75% of the carbon is in the soil, not in the trees, and it's not being properly examined.
Many scientists around the world think gas emissions from fossil fuels such as oil and coal contribute to global warming. They say one way to reduce the problem is through naturally offsetting carbon dioxide emissions by planting trees and protecting grasslands. It seems that many Australian farmers see that as an opportunity. There could well be good economic incentives to plant trees and to carefully manage pastures. Biologist Charlie Warren from the University of Sydney says that farmland could become an important part of a carbon trading program. In these programs, companies and individuals that produce carbon emissions trade credits or emissions rights with those who pollute less or can absorb emissions.
I guess the big thing now is that a lot of farmers are seeing the value of their land as maybe a sink for carbon, maybe actually being able to sell it as a carbon sink. Essentially, it'd be a tradable carbon offset, so you can drive around in your big four-wheel drive and you can get someone to plant some trees which will soak up the carbon. Basically, the farmer would sell the carbon which is stored on his land. So if a farmer converts some grassland to a forest, he can sell the extra carbon that's stored there.
Things haven't worked too well here since the drought in 95.
Australia is in the grip of the worst drought anyone can remember. Many people think the big dry is the result of climate change and has in part been caused by use of fossil fuels. Not everyone, though, is convinced. Tony Morrison is a livestock farmer near Goulburn. Like some scientists, he thinks the drought is part of a natural cycle.
Well, of course it's climate change, but the question is whether or not it's man-induced climate change, and I don't believe it is. I think it's quite ludicrous to consider that man can exert more influence on the climate than nature. I certainly wouldn't be predicting that this is the end of a drought. I would say that we're in part of a 40 to 50 year dryish cycle in eastern Australia.
Australians are among the world's worst polluters per capita because of their reliance on cars. And many fear their cars are accelerating climate change. This young woman in Sydney says she walks everywhere she can instead of taking a car or bus.
I want the world to be a better place for everyone to live in, people that are here after all of us as well. So it's about not just thinking about you, it's thinking about the rest of the world, that are people that are here now and also people that are that will be here in the future.
Many Australians think they could and should be doing more to protect the environment and reduce emissions. It's difficult to find anyone here in Sydney who's not at least recycling rubbish or cutting electricity and water use. The common view is that if climate change is not addressed urgently, a warmer future will make this country, already prone to drought and cyclones, an increasingly tough place to live and prosper. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney, Australia.